Chairman Falvo, thank you for 6929. Thank you for this church building. Thank you for the people that make commitments every Sunday to be here to hear something from you, Father God. Lord, thank you so much that we was able to talk to the people next door and get all that situated. And Father God, I just pray for today that it would make a difference in all of our lives and that we could just focus on you and praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through the week. Even though maybe we had some things that didn't go quite right, Lord, may we just leave them at your feet right now and just focus on you in Jesus' holy name. Father God, we love you and give you the glory. Father, I just pray for the angels posted around in this building to watch out and protect us. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay. All right, we've all heard about this, but it's so good, and God said do it again. So it's about King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 60 cubits, which I think is around 90 feet. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, I guess, the prefects and the governors, all the high people in government, and the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that I've had Satan on me all day, I'm sorry. Anyway, where did I go? I had to use this magnifying thing, I'm sorry. Anyway, the king had set up, and they were standing before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly called out, "To you it is said, O peoples, nations, and men of every tongue, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, bagpipes, and all kinds of music, you will fall down and worship the golden image that the king had set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of the blazing fire." Therefore, at the time when all the peoples heard the sound of all the peoples, the nations, and men of every tongue fell down and worshiped the golden image that the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Judeans came near and brought charges against the Jews. They answered and said to, I'm just saying the king, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the music shall fall down on the ground and worship your idol." So now he's going to tag. "But whosoever does not fall down and worship be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the..." I'm so sorry, y'all. It's so hard to see. "Administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, did not fall down on the earth and bow down to your idol." Well, this made the king very angry. Then the king, in rage and wrath, said to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you are not serving my gods and do not worship the golden image that I have set up. Now, if you are ready, or the time you have to hear around of the horns, the flute or the lyre or all the other musical instruments, and you do not fall down on the ground, then you will be since put into the burning furnace. And if you do not worship, you will immediately be put into the furnace, which just really upset him. What God is there when can... I'm getting frustrated, I'm sorry. Answer concerning the matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will save us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden image that you have set up. Then the king was filled with wrath, and the image of his face charged towards Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He answered and said to heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he said to certain mighty men of valor who were in his military, you know what? I'm just going to speak from God's heart, not mine. Anyway, he said, we're going to up it. We're going to up the heat seven times more. So he decided to throw them, those three men, into the burning fire. And when he umped up all the burning fire, it even killed a soldier on the outside that was putting them actually into the furnace. And when they looked in there, they said, oh, I thought you said there was only three men in there. Well, I see four. Well, Jesus Christ is in there. He's with them. He said, bring them out to me at once. They did not have one burnt smell on them. They didn't have a singed hair, nothing. And then the king decided that, well, maybe I better worship y'all's God instead of my 90 foot by 90 feet wide idol image. What I think God was trying to help me get through today, I'm in a lot of pain, as you can tell, I can't really talk, is that we one day may have to be a martyr for God. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds for us. But if we can stand firm and feel and be committed and to love one another and carry out God's work, then we will be, we'll have eternal life. And that's what we're here for. We're here to spread his gospel, to spread the name of Jesus Christ, and win souls for the cross. And I was talking to, well, in fact, I was talking to Brenda the other day, and we were chit-chatting about things. And I said, you know, what I've noticed that things in my life that I want to control, like, say, my dieting, I don't really try to gossip. Gossiping, whatever it is, my sins in my life, if I'm going through that, I feel like most of us feel like we lose a little control of the situation. But however, the flip side is if we give everything to God, it's not giving up controlling your life. It's things that you want to give up to God. So when we get in situations where we feel like we cannot control things in our life, we want to control a different area, and Satan will show us other areas. Hey, come over here. You can control this. No, we can't. No, we can't. It's all about giving it over to the Lord, letting him focus on that. And I think just having to go next door and all that, that's brought a bunch of distractions. I mean, I apologize to y'all. But, you know, we do not bow down to any image. We do not bow down. We faithfully and trustfully and lovingly give our hearts to Jesus Christ. We make him his savior of our life, and we live our life according to his will and his plan and purpose that he has for our lives. So when we lose control of certain situations, like can't control the traffic, can't control what your boss does at work, can't control that, oh, your pastor didn't hug you long enough, can't control different things in your life, that the enemy will take that and try to transpose, if you will, into things in our lives that we can't control. So it either makes us fussy. I get insecure when this happens. There's different things in our lives that come up that we want to take control of, but we can't. And I just feel like we're in a good place right now. We're in definitely a good place. We're in the sweet spot of Jesus' hands. He has us right where he needs us. He has us right where he wants us. More than that, he has us where he wants us. Now, do we want more? Do we want more people coming here? Do we want things to happen real quickly? Yes. But, you know, I think the Lord always has like one task at a time, usually one thing at a time. Instead of just come multitasking like my mother used to do, she would start in the kitchen and then she would go by the living room and go, oh, well, that needs dust, and then she'll dust. But she wouldn't finish everything in the living room, or she would do this or that. We call it multitasking. I call it taking my focus off the real thing. But we have to keep our focus on God at all times. All times. God wants to know the little things as he wants to know the big things. And I know that he has done many a good thing just this week for each of us. And I want us to be grateful for it. I want us to be able to, I mean, just like he worked out, we have to get the tree limbs trimmed over here because the neighbor's tree, all the limbs are on our roof. And the insurance company doesn't want that because they don't want to be putting another roof on or just escalate the damage to the roof. I've been trying to get her. This was the third or fourth time. And pastor decided we'd just write a letter and just tape it on her door. And when I went up to tape it on her door, they opened the door and they went, ah! Both of them heard her mother. And I said, Celine, I've been trying to get a hold of you. And she goes, well, I haven't been here, but the last time I tried to get her, she was home. She just didn't answer the door, which is fine. It's none of my business. But anyway, they do say it's okay that we can trim back those limbs that are on top of the roof over here. So it was nice to get to meet her. She goes, well, I don't know. Here's my mother. Ask her if y'all can do it. I went, well, we just want somebody's agreeing that it'll be okay. It's not like we're going to come in over on your side of the fence and knock everything off. We just want to trim the limbs. And if I'm not mistaken, when they're in the electrical lines like that, maybe that Encore could do that. I don't know. I'm not one to know how to figure things out all the time. But I'm so, so glad to see y'all here today. I've already apologized to the church, Dawn, that I stepped way out of bounds last Sunday. And I love you, and I hope that everything's good with you. We're glad that Brenda found your phone. Well, Jim actually kept going, what is that noise? while preacher was preaching, and so I went off, and I opened that drawer. Gosh, what is wrong with me? I opened the drawer, and I saw a cell phone, but it just didn't dawn on me. Dawn, did you get it, Dawn?
Yeah. So then we had already gone to about 200 there's glucose monitor, and I didn't want it. And if it goes over 250, it buzzes.
Oh.
So I said, it could be possibility you could buzz during church. So I just.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It was, but we heard it, so Brenda took it, and I was so glad that all that worked out. So anyway.
Well.
Kind of worked out, or whatever. So we're both here today, and I'm glad. So I'm just happy about this week. I'm very, very happy. Things are going to get better and better and better. Just roll with it, roll with it. That's all we have to do is roll with it. I don't know if y'all watched the Stars game last night, but it looked like we were losing. Then right at the end, we came back and won it. So we're being the second phase of the playoffs. So it was fun to watch it. It was. When you think, you know, and I was thinking, God, that's how we are sometimes. We think we're down for the count, then you will turn around and bless us and get us through the go. So I'm a sports fanatic. I guess I got that from Whitmore. I don't know, but I love the sport. So anyway, got to watch that because the baseball team sure ain't coming through for us right now. But I'm so glad to see each and every one of y'all. I know all of us have different issues going on with us right now. But we just come together, keep staying together, still being committed, And given our gratefulness to the Lord, I think that He has got everything right in place. All we have to do is just take it step by step and not try to put expectations on God or people, because when we do that, we get let down and then we start spiraling out of control again. So if we don't have, I mean, certainly you have expectations of your children or grandchildren not running out in the street. But does that say that they won't run out in the street? No. But it's just better not to put high expectations on people, because you're in for a rude awakening when they don't meet your expectations. So God wants all of our expectations. He wants us to know that He loves us, that we have a purpose and plan, and He's working things out in His time schedule. Thank you for letting me get that out. I'm sorry I'm so distracted. I kind of horsey today. But anyway, I love y'all. We'll close by a prayer, and then we'll have the singing and the tithe, and just have a grateful, wonderful day. And we need to be mindful that Mother's Day is coming up too. So anyway, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for letting us be here today, letting us to rejoice in your name. I am so sorry that I kept misstepping and reading. It's so hard when you can't see. And I'm glad that I can see that it's improving every day. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. So whatever vision you can give me, that's great. I appreciate it so much, because there's people that cannot see. So I just thankful that you let me say a few things, and that we can just enjoy one another's company, and that we can just focus on you and give you the glory, because you are so worthy. You are so worthy no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter how many times it's flipped up, upside down, or all around, that you are always there, you're faithful. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.